Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down
at the Roundtable. Welcome back as we continue our recap discussion for the 6th annual NICE project. Let's do some of the content that we didn't quite get to fully in our behind the scenes discussions. Do you want to start us off with class structure and how some of our characters or situations maybe either adhered to or challenged the existing class structure in their time and place? Because all four books are, you know, kind of different time and place, except Little Women and Gone with the Wind are kind of set in the same time period.
Right. I'm actually going to let you start this
okay.
off.
Okay. All right.
Here.
Well, first of all, I would say that all of our selected books depict how, for women mostly, and we touched on this a minute ago, marriage can either adhere to or challenge social structure. We had some good matches. We had some bad matches. And I do feel like we went into a lot of depth on that, but let's just briefly recap. Scarlett's marriages. Okay. Her first marriage to Charles. There's not really much to say about that marriage. It's an example of an immature and stupid reason for a woman to get married, and basically it results in an unwanted and unloved child, which is very sad. And that child doesn't even really play much of a part in the movie, let alone, but he has more of a part in the book, I think. The second marriage with Frank, Frank gives in a lot to Scarlett, as she is, you know, as it kind of, she's the boss in the marriage, but it costs him his life, basically. And so the overall kind of lesson you could take away from that marriage is don't give women power, you know? I mean, it's, you know, that's kind of a humorous, darkly humorous way of looking at it. But that is not an ideal marriage. And it certainly starts for a lot of bad reasons, and it ends with his death. I mean, for a lot of bad reasons. And then Scarlett's third and final marriage, well, we assume her final marriage in the book, to Rhett. Rhett always attempts some sort of control over Scarlett. He usually does it through his kind of barbed humor. He's trying to, you know, get her to react or see something his way in a kind of a humorous way. But he also seems genuinely torn in that he wants Scarlett to feel protected and indulged by him. And so their marriage is very strange in some ways, and we did talk about that a lot in past episodes, so I'm not going to go into a lot of details on that. I'll just tell everybody, hey, go back and listen to our past episodes. In Jane Eyre, my recap for that is that Jane and marriage, to me, Jane's notions of marriage and the ideas of marriage in the book are kind of, particularly from Jane's point of view, tied to equality and spirituality. And I would say in Little Women, we have more examples of marriage than in Jane Eyre. Joe and marriage, I think that's tied to romantic love, kind of resembles Alcott's real life infatuations with older literary men that she knew through her father. I would say, and I ask you, do you think it's also from Joe's point of view kind of tied to mutual respect? I don't think she respects Lori, who originally, you know, asked her to marry him, as much as she actually respects Professor Bear, who she does marry. So
yeah, she and Lori are more buds.
Yeah, exactly. And then Amy and Lori's marriage evolves from friendship to romantic love and results in a fairly equal kind of roles of supporting each other within the marriage. Actually, kind of a slightly more progressive marriage for that time period than you might expect, compared to, say, for example, Meg and John. Their marriage absolutely adheres to traditional cultural norms of marriage roles for the man and the wife, you know, the man and the woman, husband and wife. We didn't really, I don't really have much of a recap about in Dracula about marriage, because You know, the only marriage I can really think of is, you know, Jonathan and Mina, and their marriage is so bizarre. They get married, you know, at his bedside when he's recovering from a mental and physical breakdown. I mean, it starts weirdly, it progresses weirdly. Sometimes Mina is a very strong character, and sometimes she's relegated to the background. It's just bizarre. But Dracula stands out in our four books on all levels, because Dracula is a supernatural being, not a human, and so everything we talk about is like, well, but Dracula's really a monster, you know, so it's kind of hard to put him into the mix of everything.
Right. Yeah, I think one of the interesting things about marriage and Dracula is the first appearance that Lucy Ressenra mm-hmm. has, where she's writing Mina about, hey, I got proposed to by three guys
in
today.
One day, yeah.
And the idea that she is at least slightly more sexually progressive.
Yes.
Or at least she'd like to be.
Yeah.
But she's also kind of punished for it.
Yeah, she is, definitely. Again, the kind of subtext, the lessons, I don't even know if they're subtext, the lessons of some of these characters' outcomes in all these books are really, whew, yow.
Yeah, and going with the idea of class and Jane Eyre, yeah, it's fascinating because in some ways it does seem quite progressive that, you know, we do have someone who is, you know, upper class, mm-hmm. Who is marrying a governess mm-hmm. who is, you know, pretty much penniless.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm like, that seems progressive. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there's the issue of this is an employer and an employee. Mm-hmm. So from a modern Me Too standpoint, we would raise our eyebrows if this were to happen today.
Right. And the other thing, I didn't mean to interrupt, but the other thing is when they're first planning to get married, that marriage doesn't actually happen. They don't actually get married until
right.
Jane has inherited money and is of a more equal status
right.
in a way socioeconomically to Rochester, because his world has kind of fallen apart and he, you know, he's suffered some tragedies, and hers has, you know, kind of gone to the better with inheriting some money and being able to be independent and more well off. So it's
right.
a very interesting marriage itself in Jane Eyre between the two of them is like it's a two-pronged thing. The marriage that didn't happen and then the marriage that did. And looking at,
right.
at the elements of both of those, you know, yield some really interesting things about class, as does, I would say, Rochester's marriage to his first wife. They were of a more equal status, but it was a disastrous marriage, you know. Ending with one of them locked up in an attic, you know.
Right. Yeah, and I think with the equality, there's definitely lines in there that Rochester manipulates Jane that's not
mm-hmm.
really excusable.
Right.
But at least part of him does say he wants her to realize that she is his equal.
Yes.
She herself, in the middle, when she accepts a proposal, it doesn't in the end mean they get married right at that point in the book, but she's like, hey, I'm your equal, you know, if we were standing
mm-hmm.
before God right now,
right.
you know, I would claim to be your equal.
Mm-hmm.
And so, those parts are quite progressive, whereas
right.
at other times he kind of refers to her as like, you're like a little lamb that I raised up as my daughter.
Ew. We don't like that, yeah.
But yes, I agree with you that the end is very interesting because she is more economically
mm-hmm.
On the same level as he is. She does have, you know, more
mm-hmm.
money at that point. But I also think that he has gone through the transformation of knowing, hey, I can't force her to, you know, feel a certain way
mm-hmm.
to consent to marrying me. This is ultimately in her hands.
Right.
And he, you know, says that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he isn't as clingy. He loosens that and lets it be her
choice.
Well,
he evolves, and she evolves, and they meet somewhere, you know, in the romantic ether
yes.
of evolution.
Yes.
So, of their storylines, they finally do, when they finally do come together at the end of the book, they've both gone through, together and individually, an awful lot of drama, shall we say.
Uh-huh.
And so it's satisfying, you know, at the end of the book when they're together on equal spiritual levels, I guess I would say. So, yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Join us next time as we continue our recap discussion for the 6th annual NICE project.
This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.